Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Well, folks, good afternoon to you. My name is Ron Clayton, and who you just heard singing to us as we open the Optimize My Life show, brought to you by the Hope Collection and the Golden Rule Society. Today is Tuesday, Travel Tuesday, for the Optimize My Life show. And today, when we open up the show, I just want you to know that was Ariana Stanley, a 9-year-old young gal who is a genius. And she has just helped. She has joined who she founded, working with Captain Len Kane of the Golden Rule Society, the Hope and the Kindness Campaign nationally developed. She has the camp. Kindness Club for kids. And so this is really a neat thing. We're going on. It's going viral all around the world. And that's part of what the Hope Collection does. The other thing that we do, particularly on Tuesday, we actually plan, this is intentional, that we know as the world comes out of the being in jail, the world has been incarcerated to lack, almost like being condemned and living in their homes and not socializing, not being able to and be involved socially and with relationships being cold. Well, now that's all gone. We are now free. I remember there was a man who was historic in our generation. His name was Dr. Martin Luther King, and he said these words, "Free at last, free at last, free at last." Now, you may know, you can tell, I'm a white guy. That's not, I'm not trying to steal a man's thunder, I'm trying to reinforce to what he was saying. And what he stood for was the vision of understanding. And he had a dream, and that's a vision. And that's all about improving life and loving and having unity. And, you know, when you talk about travel, you know, when you're too busy traveling and planning your dream of your travel, you don't have time to be crazy, crappy, murderous. You don't have time to be nasty. You don't have time because you're building on a creation. By the way, when you say the word creation, that's God. So even the people that just want to even think about that, that's all true, even though they don't think about it. As a result, our mission in the travel industry, which we're part of, personally, I have a gentleman that we as the Hope Collection bring on board Tuesdays, a leader who has demonstrated how to change lives through what we call it, the tool of travel. And we have operations in the world, in the retail world. We have creative programs that educate, that formulate a vision of life and positiveness, overcoming the opportunity of unity with a team, be able to win, and it's really exciting. And I want to introduce you to the winner in my life that has changed the direction and course of my life and my wife incredibly. And he's done the same for his family and thousands of other people. And you can listen to him personally today, and he's going to share thoughts. We may get into some very specific details of how you can actually do something, but we might be talking a generation for, it's like you're getting your shot of energy, your shot of vision, listening to Mr. Rick Reese. Sir, good afternoon. Reporting for duty.
Yeah, I want to meet that guy. Hey, Ron, anybody can share a thunder. You don't steal a thunder. You can, you know, anybody can share a thunder. You know, it's good to be on the show. Good to be on the show. Good to be alive. And we are living in some awesome times. what did they say, the greatest of times and the worst of times? You can choose what you believe. We are living in the greatest of times. Everything is trying to distract you from your life, your personal life. You must live. You know, everything in the world, the news, tries to distract you from your personal life and to put everyone on one accord. You know, and like you were saying, that's really kind of what I believe happened during the whole pandemic, to try to put everybody on one downswing accord. But you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good person down. And we are here live and in color and ready to travel the world. And you know what's interesting? You know, we just got back from Jamaica. The world is traveling. You know, you have still people over there. Nobody's traveling. Nobody's going anywhere. Uh-huh.
The planes were full.
The planes are full. People are traveling. But, of course, you know, the word on the street here, you know, is that nobody's traveling and nobody's going anywhere. But you hit the nail on the head. We have woke up. The world is traveling again. And we just got back from Jamaica, and you talk about packed. Planes are full. You can't even get a seat on a whole plane by yourself anymore. Hey, you know what, though? You went to Cancun following the pandemic, and you saw firsthand the planes are packed.
Yes.
When we got off in Cancun, and, you know, they had this little place when you get off and you got to process in the country and lines of people. And I'm like, okay, where's everybody coming from? But, yeah, travel is alive and well, my friend. Back to you.
Well, Rick, you have just demonstrated very simply in your life. See, it's one thing to a teacher that teaches what they learn in a book. There's no power behind it. When a teacher teaches what they've experienced, whether it's to travel somewhere and then you go and tell somebody about it versus reading in a book what you saw was in your mind, but you don't know if it's accurate or not. But you know what the White Sands in Cancun at the Grand Palladian Hotel, you know what the White Sands are like, and the blue sky and the turquoise water and the people sailing, parasailing with behind a boat. And they're hanging on. They got two people hanging off the bar, and I hope they were strapped on, because if it was me, I would have fallen off. But anyways, they're going, and they're going back and forth in front of you across the beach, and then this funny-looking pirate ship goes by, and they're having a party, and the tiki band's playing on board, and they're just everybody on board the ship there. They're just having a great time. And then this guy comes over to Lynn and I as we sat on the – we were on the chaise lounge there with an umbrella and a – keep the sun out of us and getting sunburned. And this guy comes up to us and asks my wife, would you like another? My wife had a pina colada. And he said, I had a Heineken 00. Now what that is, if you like a beer, but you don't want to have the alcohol, I mean none, but you want a good tasting beer, hey folks, I'm doing a commercial. Heineken has a great beer that's no alcohol. And on a hot day, I got to tell you, you get an ice cold, I mean almost frozen cold ice beer out on 90, 100-degree beach. It's wonderful. And I sat there and said, sir, would you like another? So he went, a couple minutes, he comes down, and by the way, he had a little jacket on. You know, he's all dressed up in a uniform, and he bends over and he gives Linda pina colada with, you know, a pineapple and a cherry, a little umbrella. She's just sipping it up, and she's loving it. And I'm having my cooling off, my cool beer, my 00, and I'm just enjoying it. And there were lots of other friends on the beach, and it was just, but it wasn't crowded, Rick. There was room for more people, I tell you. But it was a white, perfectly white sands, beautiful beach, the palm trees behind us. And when we got done, it was dinner time. So what we did, oh, we had to go back to our room, so we got to the edge of the they had to carry me on a big tricycle because I have a little walking problem and sand. And they took us back to the meet the big little cart that came and picked us up and took us back to our suite in the I think there were 30 rooms in the unit that we stayed in, and we were on the second floor, so they took us to the door, and then went up the elevator, went to the room, we changed for dinner, and we came back down, and we met you, and Brenda, and Glenn, and Chantel, and some other folks, and we enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful steak dinner. I love medium rare, or like real rare, but it was just perfect. And a baked potato with the butter oozing off the side of it, and I have, would you like some pepper on that, sir? It's like the shaker with the pepper on it. They put it on fresh pepper. We're sitting there, and I had some asparagus, fresh asparagus. And we're sitting there, and it's, I don't know, it's about dinner time, so we're eating there. And all of a sudden, an announcement comes on, and they announced that there was a party on the beach. Well, we were right next to the beach. Remember, Rick? We were sitting there. And it was starting to get dark, and we had to go because the music started. And, you know, you hear the band going, it's the DJ, and the music's going. We left that dinner to go to a party right next door, and we were dancing on the beach, dancing in the moonlight.
We were having a grand time. I'm telling you, I met the guy from, I think, one of your friends, so Gideon. And we were part of our organization, your organization, and we were together dancing and just sharing and learning and loving. And we were under the stars, and the moonlight was out, and you could hear the ocean crashing. And we were like, I know Linda had bought a special dress, long dress of, floated in the breeze, you know, and it was beautiful, and I was ugly, and, you know, I was wearing some shorts and a polo shirt.
You
know, we were just
having a grand old time, and you know what? It wasn't the only time in our life. Like, it wasn't like, I stopped saying things like, oh, well, that's in my bucket list. Do you know what? A bucket list means there's a limitation in what you can have. Like, you can only have one trip. No, you can have as many in life as you can get in. How many cruises have you been on now, Rick?
Over 30.
Over 30 cruises. People think that, oh, if I can get to one, that's a great thing. Well, it is, but honestly, what if you want to go to cruise the Caribbean? What if you want to go up to Canada? What if you want to go to Boston and have a lobster roast on the beach or Bangor? Or you want to go to the Pacific and see the whales? Or you want to go to the South Pacific and you want to go see, the whales, you want to go to Haiti. You can do all those things. Well, if you want to take a train ride up to Calgary and go by the glaciers and walk on a glacier, or go to England and Germany and France and walk where millions of people were killed in World War II because everybody lost a dream of freedom. And there were people that wanted to destroy life. And we overcame that, and now we have celebrations again. And then we do memorialize those people we lost, and in honor to them, we now celebrate life. And that's what travel is all about, Rick. You're the leader of
travel.
Wow.
Well, I'm one of the leaders of travel. You're a leader of travel. You know, when you talk about your experiences, I'm like right there. I can see it. And as you was talking, I was just like, yeah, you're right. It's a bucket list, you know, because there's no bottom to it. And you can do it as often as you want, and as many times as you want, and whenever you want. You know, and the other aspect about travel is freedom. And that means business ownership. And Ron, you talk about business ownership, and you describe it better than anybody else I hear, because you know the Pilgrims, when they came over, and you tell the story well, they weren't coming over looking for a job. You know, they were seeking freedom. And they're like, you know what? Where I'm going, I don't know. It's the unknown, but I'm leaving here. I'm getting out of Dodge. and I'm going to go, and I'm going to make it. Go ahead.
I think back of, and I was a history buff. I loved history in school. Whenever there were extra courses in high school and college, there were extra courses for history, I took them. Because when that, you kind of experience where people were living, where they were at, where they were. And many times, there were places that where a lot of people weren't where they wanted to be. No one would choose ever to be where they were. But you know what? When they had the choice, they made the choice. And they sacrificed. And we're thankful because many of our ancestors, some didn't have a choice. They were forced. They had a life. But they weren't. They were forced by others to do something. Well, that everybody today in America, what happens is there's a large group of people and media people that have forgotten that in Europe, everybody was a slave. They didn't have a choice. If you weren't a guy that owned property or owned the castle or born in the kingdom or the royalty, you were a slave. And you were going nowhere. You'd eat, drink, go to sleep, eat, drink, go to sleep. And you worked the fields, and you did all the stuff. And they were slaves. And all of a sudden, this situation happened. God revealed to some men with vision that they could go to the oceans and cross the oceans to a new world, the new world. And so they did that, and they got on boats that weren't necessarily safe. And they'd say, okay, they somehow find a way to get on those boats. Some of them scoured some money or did whatever they could to get on the ship. And they blindly got on the ship that said, a guy said, I'll get you to the new world. They didn't even know where the new world was, but they went, Rick. And after months, they end up somewhere between Massachusetts and Florida, and they must be everything north and everything south. But a bunch of them landed in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. And when they got there, the one thing they did that I believe that today, you and I and everybody on the call today, the reason we have America is because what they did is they got down on their knees and they thanked God for the provision, the protection, and the real blessing of coming to America. They had the opportunity to experience the new world. And they had to build it. They didn't have it. When they got here, they didn't have a 401K and medical and sick days and I don't feel like come to work days. And they didn't have a free education and they didn't have free transportation. They had nothing. They had to work to build it and get together. And they created unity. They respected people. And by the way, the people that didn't work, they read right out of the Bible and said, if you don't work, you don't eat. But today, many times you don't even have to do that, but you get to eat. In fact, sometimes I think it's so funny. We even have veterans that can't have housing, but we got people that come to this country that are getting here, and they're not necessarily respecting our country, and they get free everything to live. And you and I are covering the cost of getting that to happen. See, there is a cost. No matter what, there's a cost. And so I tribute those people who work and try to solve and build people and serve. The whole thing, the reason America is what it is for the most years, the last 350 years, the United States has been a country of service where we give of ourselves, and many people give everything for somebody else. In fact, I know there's a law. There's a law written in the Bible that says there's no greater love than he who lays down his life for another. Now, some people, that's the ultimate sacrifice. They do live their lives. They lose it. Some people just give it, and they are not necessarily rewarded for it, but the gift of the life they live gives them great things that other people will never understand. Well, that's what the beauty of serving others does for you. And when you're in the travel business, you really got to serve others, and you have to paint the picture in your mind, share it with them, and then if they may come to you and already have it in their mind, but they just don't know how to do it, and you become the tool to allow them to operate register and do whatever it is, sign up. I had a guy I just met, and it turned out that he had never, and his wife had never been on a cruise, Rick. And he said, I want to do this. I got a window. So we put together, I started doing a couple things for him, and I came back and said, well, here's one. And I knew it was the first one. I didn't really know a lot about him, so I looked at giving him this. Now, here's the funny part, Rick. I looked at the almost least expensive cruise I could get for him, least amount of days. I tried to do it to make it for him the least inconvenience of everything about his circumstances. Now, that came to about $600 total for the package, plus airfare, all right? Well, today, this afternoon, we're actually signing the contract with Norwegian Cruise Line, just got certified with them, and they're spending $6,000.
Hey, money is no issue for convenience and fun. The value, hey, when value is understood, money is not an issue.
Absolutely. And what happened is, here's really cool. The wife who was, she'd never been on a cruise, even said these words. I don't know. Like a whiner. I don't know if I really want to do that. So I showed her, I had my computer set up to my big screen TV, and I just plugged it in with a wire. I learned how to do that. And I showed them the picture of the ship. And they were taking pictures of the, when you come down the elevator, you come down the staircase, the beautiful staircase, and then they show the nightclub, and they show dining in the dining room with a beautiful steak, the waiter bringing out a sizzling steak and setting it down in front of them. They saw the beautiful sunset over the ocean. They looked, and there was some people getting, ladies getting spa stuff, and then the guy working out in the workout room, but the lady in the spa. Then they were in the pool. Then they were in the theater. And they showed all this stuff. They saw Circus du Soleil show. Well, guess what the wife said this morning? We got to go on this cruise. I really want to go. I can't wait to go. And we're taking my mother, too.
Wow.
What turned around was the vision of seeing themselves in the picture, of experiencing the excitement, the music, the food. You, when they put that steak down, it was sizzling. The steak was sizzling on the plate, on the cruise. She had a smile on her face.
You know, like I, that is real. And as you had mentioned earlier, this is not something we're just, you know, off the cuff talking about. These are things we've experienced where the steak is sizzling and the sunsets are there and the outdoor jacuzzi pools are there and the people are laughing and there's the music playing and they have a band up there you have the Lido deck with all the food and your famous, infamous guy burgers. some guy with Guy Fieri there, the guy, and it's all you can stand to eat.
And there's no guy or gal sitting at the end of the counter with a pad to sign for the bill.
And there's no guy or gal waiting for you to, and you know, Ben and I was talking about that yesterday, how, because we had gone out to a restaurant, and, you know, there's a guy that comes and says, okay, that'll be, and you can pay at the little thing there. And but we were talking about on the cruise, when you're sitting down for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, whatever the case may be, formal dining, there's no person that's going to come and say, okay, that'll be, but they're handing you the menu, and you're looking at it and saying, let's see, I think I'll try this entree, but I really still also have a taste for this one, too. You know, we took the kids this past December on the MSC cruise, and I had all of us, well, five of us sitting around. We had our own table for dinner every night, and we would get extra entrees and put them in the center of the table for everybody to try. You know, on a cruise is a time where you can try different entrees. I mean, if you like whatever it is, You can look, hey, I've never had that before. Yeah, I'll have this. You know, and they're coming back, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and what do you like for dessert, and do you care for anything to drink? And they're not asking, okay, well, that'll be, I'm telling you, that's going to be da-da-da. But as you was talking, you know, you always think of different things, especially when you was mentioning the cruise. I remember, you know, we went on a transatlantic cruise leaving out of Miami, and it was 8 days to cross the Atlantic. And somewhere in the middle of there, Brenda and I said, let's go on the front deck and let's just see where the ship is going. And they had this jacuzzi hot tub on the front of the ship. I forget which floor, but it was the wide open. You could just see the ocean. I mean, you could see the horizon. And you could just, you know, the ship is moving along and we're sailing to Europe. And it was just Brenda and I in this jacuzzi hot tub, huge jacuzzi hot tub. Only Brenda, it was like we were the only ones on the ship. And we're looking at the horizon of the ocean, you know, in front of us, to the side of us, to either side of us. And it's just us in this jacuzzi hot tub on this ocean liner. And we're like, we're the only ones. And, of course, we weren't, but it felt so good, you know. It felt so good. And we felt special, you know. And that's what people are looking for, I believe, in life, the opportunity to travel. Because travel makes you feel special. You know, there's not a lot of things in life that make you feel special. You know, it's definitely good events, you know, traditional events, time with the family, but when you're traveling somewhere, and we've all experienced this, there's been a special moment where you're like, bliss. I'm happy. This is fun. Are you looking at a sunset or hearing the kids playing on the beach and in the background there's the sunset and you see the shadow of the kids? You're like, you know, I'm happy. I'm in bliss. I feel good. And every single experience, you know, like you're talking, Ron, you know, you have that, there's a moment that you have that feeling. We were dancing on the beach in the moonlight in Punta Cana. And you was there, you met my friend, our fellow Gideon, Bill from Portland, and we're there and we're trying to talk over the music. Yeah, and the waiters are having hors d'oeuvres, and they're, would you care for this? Would you care for that? Would you care for anything to drink? And we're just talking, and we're just sharing about Gideon stuff. And the wives are doing something else. We didn't even know where they were for a minute there. And they were just doing something, but we were just sharing. And for me, there was a moment there that I was like, this is cool. You know, the moon, and like you said, you know, the crashing of the water, the waves, and the music, and, you know, really upbeat music. Just fun stuff. You know, also Rick, when you was talking. Go ahead.
Oh, it reminds me, as you were saying, that shared a moment of entertainment and enjoyment and joy that the Lord has provided us this. Well, I want to talk about another issue that, because of what we've done in your introduction to Linda and I, never would have happened. You know, we've been able to do a bunch of cruises ourselves, but a couple years back, my sister contracted or whatever, got MS. And she's just at the level where she might be in a wheelchair the rest of her life now, but she can use canes to get around. My brother-in-law has stage 4 cancer. He's on God's time. Well, he's under treatments, and he beat the one cancer. They told him he's cured from that, and he's making improvement. But let me tell you what's the real improvement in his life. This is what travel has done for my sister and brother-in-law. I'm not ashamed. I have permission to tell the story. Most of their marriage hasn't been nice. The two of them fought like cats and dogs. The police were at the house a lot. Court orders were issued, all kinds of stuff. She moved out, wouldn't allow him at the new place. They'd lost everything they had. When they started over, Well, then one day I got in the travel business, and I'm talking about, and she's my sister, so, you know, she's my baby sister. She's 60 years old, but she's my baby sister. So I'm talking about us going on a cruise, and she said, oh, Ron, I want to go with you sometimes. We really want to go on you. Well, we went on about, I don't know, a bunch of cruises, and it came up that we almost went with you to the 9-day Christmas MSC Bam trip cruise, but we missed out because I didn't register in time, my fault. But I told my wife that we might be able to go on this cruise, so she had in her heart that we were going to go on a cruise again. She loves it. So I knew that my sister and brother-in-law were going on their third cruise in a year. They have turned into two lovebirds on every Tuesday. Today, I can't call my sister. I can't go to her house. They don't answer the door, or they may not even be home because every Tuesday is date night. Since they've gone on cruises, they're like two of those dumpers that coo and love, and they're giddy, and it's almost sickening. Anyway, they're lover-dumbers. They do things that go out there, and they call us, can we go out for a fish fry Friday night? No, we want to go to the pizza place. That was the best pizza we ever had. They're doing stuff. They're going places. Rick, the travel business, and they described it this way. When they were walking down the what do they call that? The wood deck where you walk outside on the ship. There's a name for that. I don't know. I call it the deck. Anyways, they were walking down the deck at a sunrise. And then they're walking down the deck at a sunset. And then they got in the chaise lounge. And they were sitting out there just talking about life and talking how their life had changed. And today, if you met them and you didn't know who they were, you'd never know that they'd gone through the horrific life of unsteadiness, unsettled, all the stuff that goes with having problems and not being in unity and love and being in having the Holy Spirit in their life and honoring God. All that stuff today is a dream come true for a life because of what they did and what they learned because of travel. And now...
Well, one thing we know...
Go ahead, Rick. Oh, I'm just telling you, I'm choked up. I'm sorry, I got to take a break.
You know, you changed their life. You know, you were used as a tool that changed, absolutely, flat out changed their lives. I was looking at the survey, one of the surveys that, I forget who put out, one of the travel associations put out, but it says travel strengthens relationships and ignites romance. And that's by the U.S. Travel Association. And couples in a romantic relationship report traveling together makes them significantly more likely to be satisfied in their relationships, communicate well with their partners, enjoy more romance, have a better sex life, spend quality time together, and share common goals and desires. And I'm here to attest that even beyond just couples, when I was sitting there with my family for that 9-day MSC cruise this past December, and we're having dinner every night, just us five at the table, and Brenda's brother, and laughing and talking and talking and eating and laughing and drinking and that, you know, we had it was the best time I've ever had with my kids as adults, my adult children. And me getting to know them and to hear their stories, you know, because life is so busy, sometimes you just don't get a chance to do that. My son's in the military, you know, he's in Nebraska. My daughter, she has a really great job and keeps her, you know, over there. My brother lives in another state. My brother-in-law lives in another state. But us all there together. And going off to getting off the ship for the different excursions in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and, you know, all the different places that we went to. But it brought our family even closer together. And so that's what you're saying. You actually changed your sister and your brother-in-law's life. You know, from listening to you, you guys was kind of intruding on their Valentine's Day cruise.
Yes, we did.
They're like, why are you here? Huh?
He got mad at me because they didn't want us around.
You see what you started. See what you. I'm from Boston. See what you started. You know, travel was a byproduct for me. Travel was a byproduct of me seeking freedom. You know, we were talking earlier about freedom. Travel came as a byproduct. When I joined the travel industry in 2004, I was leaving a job that I'm like, eesh, this job is crazy, 80 hours a week. And then I left the job and went to the community. And I'm like, you know what, how do I make money? You know, and the Lord was like, go into the community, I'll take care of things. I go in the community, and I'm like, you know, I have this travel thing. Could that be a way to create an income? And I didn't know. You know, Brenda and I, we were just using it to travel and enjoy life. And I look over my shoulder, and these other people in the industry are making a lot of money. And I'm like, huh, this is interesting. Could it be that travel, in addition to being fun, could be freedom? Ron, I found it to be true. I travel because I'm free. And that's huge. You know, I'm not just free because I'm free because I travel, but I travel because I'm free. And that's free to go where I need to go, where I choose to go, when I choose to go. And that's a leap of faith that most people are not willing to take. That's a leap of faith because it's like, remember Raiders of the Lost Ark where, you know, the guy there, the star, is in this cave and he has to get across and there's a cavern and it's like endless drop, you know. Like, ah! And he doesn't know that when he takes a step, you know, a step appears. And so imagine standing on the edge and you got the enemy at your back and you're looking at this vast darkness all around you, up, down, to the right, left, and enemy's coming and you got to do something. He's going to jump off into the darkness, but he says, finally, he says, ah! And he takes a step and a step appears. And he takes another step and another step appears. Well, there's steps going across. That's what faith is like. And a lot of people are at that point in life where life is roaring at their back, and they're wondering, which way do I go? And we're here, and travel is just one option. But take a step. So I took a step, and that step was a step of freedom. And the other interesting thing about that is that jobs – and, of course, you talk about this so well. Jobs are designed in every country to keep you in your class, whatever that class is. Jobs are designed to keep you in that class. That's why when you go to another job, they'll ask you, well, how much did you make at the last job? And because we just want to pay you a little bit more or less. Don't tell them. And so, you know, we retired military, we did pretty good. But we wanted to be able to serve and to be able to give and those kinds of things that make you feel really good and serving your fellow man, service before self. And the travel business, you know, beyond the job, as any opportunity, step into whatever that opportunity is for you. Everybody's got something different. You know, whatever your passion is, you can be successful in whatever your passion is. Ours is travel. Let's make money and travel. But it allowed us to jump. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It allowed us to jump classes. You know, if you're in a particular class and you want to go to another class, a job's not going to get you there. A job is designed to keep you in your class. And, Ron, we jumped classes. I'm like, I'm out of here. You have to tell me twice. I see an opportunity to jump into a whole nother class, a whole nother tax bracket. And hey, if you're one that says, you know what, I hate being stuck. I hate being controlled. And if you don't know you're being controlled, you're being controlled. And that's any class. But, you know, you know what, this is an opportunity. If these guys in the travel business can be successful and do it, And Mary will tell you, you know, we're, you know, military folks, and it doesn't just take military folks. We're like, hey, I know how to study. I know how to dedicate. I know how to commit. I know how to understand systems, to go to the top of systems. If that's you, whether it's travel or anything else, you need to take that leap of faith and say, I'm not staying the same. I'm moving from this place. And guess what? I'm taking my family and my friends who want to come with me. You know, and that's what I saw, Ron. I saw freedom. I saw the freedom to do what you choose to do. Now, is it overnight? No. It's nothing is overnight. Everything is a study. Everything is a dedication. Everything is a commitment. People think, you know, we're a microwave generation. You know, you come into something, it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be trials and tribulations. You know, there'll be times when you say, I'm not sure if I can do this. You're going to doubt yourself. There'll be times where you say, I got to go back. It's just too much for me. But you keep going. And you mentioned this earlier. You get down on your knees. Right? And when it gets too tough, and even before then, I've learned even before then, get down on your knees and you pray. And you ask and seek the Lord, what should I do? You know, what's my next step? It doesn't just happen in a vacuum. Who is the next person I need to bless? You know, who can I share this with, Lord? Who will go with me? And then you just, then you study. You study your business. That's one of the things about Surge. Surge has a training program where you don't have to know everything at one time. You just mentioned you became a Norwegian specialist. Ron becomes a – okay, when in life do you have that opportunity to say, I choose to be a Norwegian specialist because I've got someone who wants to take a cruise? Tell me about Norwegian.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're a first-class operation. And the way they're set up, you have to be registered with them, okay? Now, you and I or anybody can't just get registered with them. You have to be able to get there because you have let's say, you know how you can't get to heaven without getting Christ in your life. That's the way all Christians believe. And you know what? You can do all kinds of stuff, but if you don't get that connection, you don't get there. Well, Norwegian, you have to go through, in this case, Travmanity, for them to submit your proposal to be a certified cruise person, and travel agent. You can't just call them up and book some. Now, you can, as a customer, just book a cruise and go, but that's a called retail price. And you get one of the specials, but it's just special. I don't get excited about specials anymore because we buy wholesale. Anyway, so I did all that, and then it came down. I couldn't get on. I go, what's going on here? I've done everything I need to do. And I called, and they said, well, Mr. Clayton, you've got to have Travmanity registered. They're your host agency. They have to propose. They have to submit your number, and you've got to get a user number and a name and password from them, but you can't get it. They have to give it. You can't.
Hold that thought, Ron. Travmanity is a host travel agency that works with Surge. So they're an actual accredited travel agency that when you join Surge 365, you know, you take the first class training, a couple of different things, and you become a travel agent through our host travel agency, Travmanity. And so what Ron is saying, he had to go through Travmanity and ask them to give him the access to Norwegian, their website, with the password, username, password, before he could register to become a specialist with Norwegian. And so you have to go. Most people don't have a travel agency, a host travel agency that will give them that permission to have access to the training. That's not just Norwegian, but we have access to all the industry's training. And so, but that's what Ron did to become a specialist. He had to go through Travmanity, our host travel agency, who is partnered with everybody in the industry, and they're that first level contact to the whole industry to become a specialist anywhere, and going through our travel agency. And so, Ron, not everybody has that kind of access, but that's what Surge gives them, and that's just one aspect of Surge. Go ahead.
Well, and it's so wonderful that today I have the freedom and the power to do that. Before I had the freedom, I could want to do it. I could pray to do it. I could do it. The fact of the matter is you have to have the connection to make it happen, and I got it. Now, I wouldn't have ever had that if I'd never met you, Rick. So the importance is everybody on the call or everybody's listening in on the call, if you want to have that kind of power in life in all the areas that in the area of travel, well, you got to get connected with somebody or here that can help you do that. And when you do that, what's really cool, Rick, some people are positioned in life because they've gone through whatever they've gone through and they got educated and they live in a certain place. So they may have some things that will help them and give them – I don't want to use this. A whole bunch of people going around and say, there's people who have advantage. Well, no, none of us are. I've scraped and dug for every single thing I ever got. God bless me a lot, but you know what's really cool about America? Do you know why all these millions of people are breaking everything they can, including the law, to get here? This is still the greatest opportunity for freedom and security and safety and life and abundance. The greatest place on the face of the earth.
But let me say this, Ron. A lot of Americans don't see that. People come from other countries to America that see and understand opportunities. In many cases, we've been spoiled because we are the land of opportunity, and you talk to people, and they're locked in the prisons of their mind when all of this opportunity is around them, not just travel, but, you know, they stay in their jobs. You know, of course, right now with the pandemic, we've got the great resignation where people who have been working home during the pandemic are saying, I don't want to go back to work. I don't want to go. But still, they're looking and saying, what can I do? And that's why those are the folks that we're coming to and say, hey, you know, we just happen to be travel, but you hold the key, like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. Click your heels. You could have gone home anytime. And we're telling them. So even though we're the land of opportunity, you know, people are still in bondage, and we're saying, come out. Now, not everybody's going to get that message, but we're saying, come out. You hold the key. In fact, there is no door. You're not locked in. You know, it's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. See, and that's the other aspect of what we're talking about, Ron. We're talking about self-development. We're talking about mind, body, soul, and spirit. Go right ahead.
What I love of what we're doing, there's somebody on the call right now listening, I believe, that can probably talk about, they actually saw this and got excited, and the excitement and her love of others and serving others, she took, and she doesn't have, I'm not trying to embarrass her, but she doesn't necessarily have all the tools that everybody else have. I'm not talking about medical, physical. I'm talking about, well, quite frankly, she got started. She didn't even have a car. But in 30 days, you know why you are. I'm talking about you right now. Can you say hello? I'm forcing her to talk. Come on, Kim. Yeah, she's unmuted, so I know she can talk. Kim, are you there?
She probably has her phone on mute.
Yeah. Kim, can you turn your microphone on? I want her to share this story because She's got a testimony, folks. Kim, can you hear me? Maybe Selena. She might have her phone with Selena or Victoria on the phone. I'm not sure. Well, I'll go ahead and tell the story, but I'm not trying to steal her thunder. But you know what? She just proved in this month, you don't even have to have a car, and you can start. In 30 days, you can create a group and business and win an award of $500. $500 cash. And I have people that tell me they can't, I don't know, they say they, first they tell me they can't, so that's that, well, they're done. But they think that there's somehow something preventing them from able to move ahead. And what they need is a few bucks. Well, she didn't let that be an excuse. She let nothing stand in her way. And there were obstacles. And what she did is she followed some leadership from some folks, and Rick Reese, you are one of the leaders, that helped her direct her energy. And today, she's been awarded. She won. The first bonus that you can earn is a $500 bonus from Surge, because you go out and share, and you're not selfish. You share this idea with others, and you create a team. And she did that.
Well, you know.
So that's, she's got $500 to go spend on whatever she wants to spend it on. I think she's upgrading her business to the full package. I'm not sure.
But we have 27 streams of income in Surge. There's 27 streams of income. And on the travel side, we also have a referral program, you know, where, you know, we share the word, and there's a bonus program there. And like you're doing in setting up the different cruises and commissions, and you go, when you first came in, Ron, next thing I know, you and Linda are over in Europe cruising with Viking River Cruises, because it's a promise you made, you know, way back when, and you get come home to an $800 commission check. There's 27 income streams, you know, actually over 30 income streams, and a person can choose, where do I want to make my money? Do I want to make it on all-inclusive resorts? Do I want to make it referral? And, of course, we're doing all this at the same time. On cruises, do I want to make my money on corporate travel, maybe educational travel, faith-based travel? You know, Glenn Aiden out in Washington State, he said, and he just became a specialist with ETS that sets up Holy Land tours. He said only 3% of pastors have been to the Holy Land. So where do I want to make my money? Do I want to make my money with that free Vortex link, booking link that I can give out complimentary to the whole state of New York, to all the United States? They book through my link. They save up to 60%, and I earn 60% of what they save. Go right ahead, Country Boy.
I have a flashback when Ron was talking about our new family member in the travel business. And then you mentioned it, Rick. You put the word referral in there. Back in the old days, I've been in the travel business since 1988. They call us, I don't want to say a nasty word, but I already said it, referring travel agents. And my punchline back then, Rick, was we don't have nothing to sell. We got a story to tell. You told me that Travelocity, Expedia, Cheap Tickets, Hotwire, and all those companies were owned by the same company, but you said they don't own Delta Airlines. They don't own the Hyatt Regency. They don't own Norwegian Cruise Line. So I'm thinking, you mean I can have the same power as those people and we don't own nothing? Well, what's the difference between them and me? They set the rates for the world. Rick told me he don't care if you're Ron Clayton, a little old city boy, or a little old country boy. If your butt's going to jump on that plane flying from New York to Atlanta, they charge you the same price. It would be fair. It would be belittling of them. They would shoot themselves in the foot. They would be backstabbing themselves if they show Ron one price and then show me a different price. And then if Mary wants to go, show her a different price. But when you said, Rick, they sell the world's best retail prices, and we have a chance to make a built-in commission, Rick. I think you told me it was something called a parity. where they got like a 10% commission built in there. You said, because you're the last trip you went on, did you talk to anybody? I said, no, because you've been forced online. But if I spend $2,000 and they make 10%, that made $200 off of me, and they ain't even talked to me. And they don't care if the sheets are dirty at the hotel you stay in. But Rick says what they're going to do in our country is they're going to shift that commission that would normally be paid to these big companies, since there's no middleman, and they're spending millions and millions of dollars every day on advertising. And he explained it to me. He says, we're old school country. We use the best form of advertising known to man. I said, what's that? He said, word of mouth. Oh, Ryan Clayton called it them city boys. He says, it was just so good, I just couldn't keep it to myself. I referred my cousin. I referred my auntie. Oh, Ryan Clayton getting real slick now. He thinks he's going to bless a whole bunch of people. He referred his church. Oh, he was over there. He said he heard the pastor preaching. He said it's a blessing to be a blessing. He got to be belittling on me to keep this secret to myself. And I go to my church, and my church is getting ready to travel, and I don't tell them and refer them and get the church to make some money. And you mean it's a blessing to be a blessing, and you can make money when the church makes money too? Hallelujah. Back to you, Rick.
Don't be afraid to be an insider. Don't be afraid to be an insider. Expedia is an insider. Priceline is an insider. Ron Clayton is an insider. Now, think about that. Barry Diller bought Expedia back in way back when, 2001, 2002, and paid $17 billion for Expedia and $1 million a week to maintain it even today, if not more today. Ron joins Surge. He has a vortex that immediately puts him in the market space of Expedia, and to have immediate, think about what I'm saying, to have immediate access to the global profit that Expedia makes. Ron Clayton, joining Surge, immediate access to global profit through the vortex, to the point where he gives out a vortex link, and he allows, by giving out a vortex link, he empowers somebody to save up to 60% over that Expedia price in the public space. He is able to earn 60% of whatever is saved. Now, this person is booking from China to England, not even coming to the United States, Buffalo, New York. And he is able to save them in from China to England for that stay in that hotel up to 60% over the Expedia price. Immediately coming into search, right, and earn 60% of what they save. So if they save from China to England, staying in that hotel, they save $100 over the public price. Surge sends Ron 60%. So he earns $60 in Buffalo, New York, for that transaction that's global as well as domestic. Hands-free. And see, and that's when Ron and I said, this is a great fundraiser for a church that has a congregation. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, and one of the results of this whole thing, I got Spanish version Bibles in the Cuba. Now, I'm a Gideon. I never would have been able to get Cuba. First of all, it's against the law, but then we overcame that. But you know what? Because of what I do as a travel agent, I was able to have some people go to Cuba and take Bibles with them. And we distributed several hundred Bibles in an orphanage to a bunch of kids that had not been around a Bible for at least 25 years because it's illegal to own one. But we got them there. The director of the camp said she cried and she couldn't believe that she owned a Bible or had a Bible. Well, that's because I'm in the travel business, and I learned how to use it to make people and help people and build the kingdom of God. That's the power of what we do. And I hope everybody listening in today realizes what an effect you can have on the lives of people all around you, people that you know, people you don't know. We are making a difference in this world and building the kingdom. And I thank you. We're all real servants. You're all great people. thank you for your contributions. Thanks for being here today. You're welcome back all the time. Take care, everybody.
We'll see you.